the little boy who did the breaststroke
Aquaman.
To get over there.
That was my favorite part.
Yes.
I was wondering if he was going to have enough energy left to throw a blow, but I guess he did.
MVP.
Before they get in your business, be in charge of your business. Own it because it's your business. Your business, business. Handle all of your business. Value all of your business. You say you're minding your business. My business.
What's up, what's up, good people? Welcome into Montgomery & Company. I'm Renee Montgomery, and we're taking it back today, back to them high school days where you were clawing and fighting to try to be a top 10 prospect, that number one spot, a McDonald's All-American. And I'm talking to the Hoopers out there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So today, it's like a Hooper's paradise. We start out with WNBA player Nas Hillman in her second year, still doing work. And then we're going to take it back to the high school crew where we have the top prospects in Zamariah Jones and Jelani Cambridge. We're going to come and talk to them. I love hearing young people's thought processes. And then we have executive Trey Evans from Under Armour. He's the head of sports marketing. So it's going to be a Hooper's paradise. Tap in. Let's go. First of all, I'm going to start out. This is about the Montgomery Brawl. And this is Montgomery & Company. So y'all had to know that we were going to talk about the Montgomery Brawl that happened in Montgomery, Alabama. We're going to talk about it with the crew later, but I just have to talk to the people that are on social media all the time like I am, particularly Twitter, because if you were on Twitter during certain events, like if you know how we live watch events, we live watch games sometimes, but when moments like what happened, where it was, you know, they called it the Montgomery Sweet Tea Party. You know, there's all kinds of names going on right now. There's the Riverboat Rumble. There's all kinds of names. But if you were on social media like me during events like this, it's got to be top five. Like, what just happened? And we're going to talk all about it in the context. I'll give all the context. But there was a brawl that happened. Basically, there was a man, and I'm going to say people's race because I think it matters a little bit in this story. But there was a black man that told a group that they have to move their boat. Now, this group was all white people, and the group basically didn't want to move their boat and the worker there. So they jumped him. Like, long story short, in broad daylight, jumped this man. Well, there was other people around the area that right when they saw this worker, this black man getting jumped, they came to his defense. I mean, they came from, you know, land, sea, everything. I'm not lying. Like, I feel like I'm telling a Soulja Boy story. Like, and then I walked in like, blah! You need to Google it right now if you haven't. And like, I can't wait to talk to the crew about this further because there's so many things about this situation. But you know, Twitter is just a very unserious place. So it's the best place to be, honestly, when anything happens, when any major event happens. I mean, I know it's supposed to be X now. Listen, Twitter, okay? Like, when any major event happens, I got to get to my phone. I got to see what Twitter is talking about. And Twitter did not disappoint. Like, there were memes. There's going to be memes for a lifetime. But the best part about what happens on Twitter is how quick it happens. Okay. I mean, there were t-shirts already made. Like, t-shirts from the fight were made the same, like, a day later, right away. Like, people already trying to buy them. There were videos on how to swing a chair, like, tutorials already made instantly. I'm talking about people quick with it. Creatives in this world. You just had to be there, I guess. And I'm going to talk to the crew later about this because, as I mentioned, like, the doctor, first of all, this is a scary situation because there was a man that was jumped in broad daylight. And the fact that people thought that they could get away with jumping a man in broad daylight that was actually doing his job, crazy. Like, crazy, crazy, scary. And then there was also the moment where, wow, look at everybody that came to his defense. So, can't wait to talk to the crew. There's a lot of historical context at that doc. We'll get all the way into it. But I'm just saying, man, on Twitter, and honestly, I know there's like these mixed feelings on when serious events happen and how Twitter makes serious events very unserious. Like, there, I know that there's that thread. This ain't one of them situations. Like, I really hope that no one obviously like got seriously harmed. I know people got harmed in the fight. That's what happens when you get into a fight. That's what happens when you jump somebody. You already are declaring a battle. So I know that people got hurt, but you know, we don't want to see anybody pass away or anything of that nature. But this is one of those situations where we had a time. You know what people say? We had a time last night. That's how I felt after being on Twitter. So I guess I was socializing on social media. Some people don't even think that's a real thing, but I had a time on Twitter, baby. But you know what? That also makes me think about, and I'm going to talk to them. Y'all are going to hear them later in the show, but I was talking to some high school athletes, and I'm talking about some top athletes. And I asked one of them, what does she want to see improved basically for the WNBA? And she mentioned social media and how toxic the comments are. And so the way my brain works is crazy. It's like life, but make it sports. Listen, we need to start pulling up Avengers style when people start acting crazy in the comments to the Young Bucks and different people like that, where it's seriously on their mind. That's the one thing that she wanted to change in a sense of the WNBA, is how people respond to it in the comments and how toxic it is. So I just, like, in my mind, I loved how humanity was like, we're not about to watch this man get jumped. And so we need to do that. When we see a Young Buck or somebody that posts something and you see it starting to get crazy in the comments with just some guys that, and you know, there's like a give and take, because sometimes they just do that because they want a response. So the ones like that, sometimes it's like, ignore the ignorant. But, you know, it kind of seemed like she wanted some support. So I'm not even saying go at the guys, but just drop some love, you know, balance out the scales. You don't have to talk to the people making crazy comments, but just, you know, add your positivity to it to balance out the scales, because you can just see that our Young Bucks, man, they're looking at that. They want that. And speaking of Young Bucks, she's not a rookie anymore, but Naz Hillman is in her second year. And man, she's just a player that I love having on our team, because she has a motor. She doesn't stop. She brings positive energy all the time. She's a team player. She's all the things that we would want. I'm going to talk to Naz right now. I talked to Naz at Media Day, Moco on the Go. Always like to tell you guys this, so you know that, like, this was what was their thoughts at the beginning of the season. And now you can see how those thoughts have became just like literally what happens during the season. So Naz, let's get it. Naz, okay, first of all, when he came in here, she told me not to ask her no hard-hitting questions.
Exactly.
Like, what is an NFT?
Exactly.
Okay, so we're going to keep it simple, though. You had an incredible season at Athletes Unlimited. So, like, what was your mindset going in? I know you had an incredible off-season going into the season of Athletes Unlimited, but what's been your off-season mentality?
Yeah, I mean, it's to get better for myself and get better for the team. It was an eye-opener last year, being able to get some minutes and really figure out where were my strengths and weaknesses and what Coach T wants and what she doesn't. So being able to focus on those things to make myself and the team better.
Love it. And so what do you feel like is different this year, now that you have a year under your belt? Like, this was just training camp and everything. Like, what's different year two?
A lot. I mean, just knowing what to expect. Like, last year, I couldn't even ask any of my teammates, like, what are we expecting from Coach T, because she was new. True. But now I know exactly what she wants, how she wants it done, and that not knowing factor is no longer in the space and the area, and I just feel more confident already knowing what I was, you know, going to be doing this year.
No, that's a good point, because nobody's actually said that. Like, last year was Coach T's first year, so it was everybody's mm-hmm. first year. I've been asking a lot of the rookies, like, what's been the jump, and everybody said the physicality of mm-hmm. the game. And so what do you think, because we've seen college players talk about it now, it's widely discussed, but what do you think would better have helped you be prepared for training camp coming in?
I don't know if anything can prepare you for this. I mean, it's because the thing is yes, like you said, the physicality, uh-huh. but sometimes in college, one player has that physical sure. toughness instead of an entire team. Sure. So it's like, okay, maybe once every 3 weeks you're playing against somebody who's really physical, that is the level of the W, but there's nothing really you could prepare unless you're going overseas before you get here, and that's just not realistic.
No, that's true, because it's like, that's, I tell people this all the time. You go from, you might play one All-American on another team mm-hmm. to where when you play against a WNBA team,
everybody
was the star of their team. Yeah. And so now going into the season, then what are some of the goals you have? Like mm-hmm. for not just you, but like on the court, I mean, but also off the court, because this is, you're a brand at this point mm-hmm. and congratulations on your off season, girl. Yeah. Every time I turn the TV on, you are on the tube, honey, okay?
Yeah. I mean, my biggest thing is just to grow. You know, I never want to be in the same spot that I was year before or a month before or a day before. So like you said, continue to build my brand, be better than I was last year. And that can mean a bunch of different things. I'm still figuring that out. But I'm hoping by the end of this season, I know that I've gained a lot of knowledge. I've done a lot of things to better myself.
Do you think you've learned how to be a pro yet?
I think I have. I don't think I'm all the way there. Uh-huh. Don't get me wrong. But I think I had some people last year who really helped me in those stepping stones.
Because people don't understand that, like, you can want to, you can be in the best shape, you can all of those things, but you still might not know how to be a pro. Yeah. What would you say are, like, ways that you have to learn how to be a pro?
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing, and something that somebody told me, you have to find a routine. I mean, when you come from college, everything, you're told to do everything.
Yes.
This is your class schedule. This is when you come to training table. This is when you come to practice. Now it's like, this is practice time. This is field time. And now you need to figure out what you're doing with the rest of that. Mm-hmm. And if you aren't doing what you're supposed to do, it's going to be hard. It's going to show. But, you know, having your schedule, your routine, okay, Tuesdays I'm going to cryo, Thursdays I'm getting extra work in, and just being able to know and say, this is what I'm doing every day to make sure that I'm getting better. And you know, if it doesn't work, you figure out a new routine, but at least you put something in place.
Love that. I mean, routines are everything. They say some of the best athletes in the world, like, there's a term, you can set your clock by mm-hmm. them. Like, Kobe walked into the gym every day on the same time. Like, that's yeah. another level. But off the court, like I talked about, I turned the TV on. You on the TV, girl. So, like, what was that experience like? I mean, you were getting reps.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, AU was a great...
Well, I actually wasn't even talking about AU. I was actually talking about broadcasting.
Oh, yeah, broadcasting.
Girl, she's doing a lot, okay?
There's a lot going on. Yes. Big Ten was a great experience. Yeah. I worked with some great people that just really helped me along the way. And, you know, honestly, broadcasting, when my agent first brought it to me, I was like, no, I don't want to do that. But then I was like, you know what? It gives you different eyes of the game. I get to still be around basketball. I get to be around the Big Ten that right. I love so much. So it was just really eye-opening in terms of what I could do, but also seeing the game from a different perspective. And now 1 year removed from college.
Right. And I'm curious, like, because everything is a fill-out. Like, we play basketball our whole lives. We don't know what else we could do. But we always know there's so many other things. So, like, what are other things? Even wow, I used to say after basketball, but now athletes don't even really have to choose. So what are other things that you just want to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think my biggest thing is I always feel like I want to help people in some type of capacity. And like when I'm done with basketball, I want to go into coaching. And I feel like that's an opportunity for me to give back to the game, help yeah. those who are coming up through basketball, whether that's, you know, high school, middle school, whatever it is, to be able to get to that next jump. But I mean, I also like to be in the community. I'm trying to figure out some ways where I could get out there. And obviously in the summer it's hard because we were playing so many
you're
games.
Busy, girl.
Busy. But you know, like I said, thinking about the coaching thing, and I would really love to step into that after I'm done. But now, like you said, there's opportunities that we can do, you know, in the off season.
So since you want to be a coach, do you ever like talk to T, or you just basically see how, like, do you watch coaches now knowing you want to be a coach?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And just kind of seeing what I do and do not like, I think that's the right. biggest thing. You know, even when I was in college, I knew that I wanted to go into coaching. So looking at my college coach and figuring out, you know, okay, I like this part of her style, I don't like this part of her style, or, you know, I could change it and tweak it to be more of what I want to do, you know, once I get to that level. So yeah, I do kind of survey a little bit. Occasionally I ask the, you know, a little bit of a more hard-hitting questions in terms of the coaching side, but not as much as just observing.
I love that. I appreciate it. You're going to be a good coach. I can see that. Like, I can really see it. You don't need to wait. Like, you could do it now, literally in the off season. But come on, man.
Thank
I'm happy
you.
For you year two.
Thank you.
Happy to have you.
Let's go.
Love Nas Hillman, man. I'm a fan. Like, is she somebody that you know is just going to be successful no matter what they do? They're going to end up being successful. And speaking of successful, I got to talk to two of the top prospects in high school about their thoughts on college sports, on the WNBA, social media, all of that coming up next.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thank you.
The UA Next Elite 24 is a platform for today's high school basketball stars to showcase their talents to a national audience. Players from high school classes of 2024, 2025, and 2026 make up this year's roster. And we just so happen to have a couple of the Hoopers, and not just any Hoopers. I mean, they already told me they undefeated. So before we started recording, they let me know because they are teammates. We have Jelani Cambridge here, and we also have Zamaria Jones. What are your thoughts when you pull up to these elite showcases like the UA Next Elite 24? Like, what are your thoughts going into it?
I mean, honestly, going into it, just blessed to be there with all the talent. Blessed to be able to, you know, been hardworking over the past few summers for people to notice me and to come out here against all the top athletes. So, I mean, it's just great to just even be there to, you know, show up.
And so what about you, though, like Zamaria, like what are your thoughts when you head into one of these elite camps?
Like she said, it's great to be there. It's a great opportunity. Just blessed that they chose me to be there. Really good competition. So I just be ready to compete against everybody.
Hold up. So y'all don't be out there thinking like I'm about to try to get a bucket. Like they got me as a number 3 player and they got me as a number 14. I think I'm top 10. I think I'm top 2 and not 2. So y'all thoughts aren't this going into these elite competitions?
It definitely is.
Okay.
Most definitely. It definitely is.
Okay. Cause that's what I mean. Cause there's a reason y'all got here. The reason like we talked to a lot of people, we've talked to Master P, we've talked to famous actors, but I like talking to Hoopers and stuff as well, because there's a certain grind that y'all aren't on these elite runs for no reason. Like, for instance, like, let's look at college sports right now. Y'all know who the Bayou Barbie is, right? Who is that?
Angel Reese, duh.
Okay, come on now. Angel Reese of Lage, they got commercials. They got Amazon commercials. They got brand deals going on. They got all kinds of different things. And it's not just because they're star athletes, which they are, but what is it about them that you think is getting them these name, image, and likeness deals? Like, what do you think, Zamaria?
I feel like they just, well, they're setting a bar for other people. Like, if they can do it, I feel like anybody can go do it. What they're doing is great, amazing. Like, I look up to them when it comes to NIL because I want to be there one day where they at. So I feel like they're just setting a goal for younger athletes to show that you can really get money.
Yeah, I love that. What about you, though? What do you think, Jelani? Like, what do you think sets them apart that, like, because y'all are going to an elite camp coming up. Everybody's elite that's going to be at that camp. What sets apart the elite from the top elite?
I would definitely say their personality, just the way they carry themselves. They're on the right path and they're willing to just help all the kids behind them, like us. They're setting the bar high.
I love this. And so both of y'all are the 2024 class, because it's crazy hearing y'all talk. These are high schoolers. Like, I want people to realize, like, I'm talking to high school students, but everybody's so well put together in this name, image, and likeness space. And like you said, Zamaria, you want to be where they're at in that position. So what does that look like now when you're a top athlete? How are you preparing to be one of the top name, image, and likeness athletes like you said you wanted to be?
I'm just putting my name out there, like, just doing little stuff like, I mean, promoting people's business with, like, they give me a hoodie I wear or something like that. Really just promoting my name and putting it out there. And also just getting buckets. I mean, they get buckets, okay. I get buckets. So,
okay, that's the best way to go about being seen. What about you, Jelani? Like, how does one, like, everybody knows how to go about being a good hooper, right? Like, we know you put the hours in the gym, you get the shots up, you know, you're a good teammate. But this name, image, and likeness space is different. How do you go about getting your name in that mix?
It's just kind of being comfortable about being on social media, because, I mean, that's really the way to go. You're being comfortable like this right now. We're doing this podcast to show the world, you know, just being comfortable and just practice and practice and just surrounding yourself around good people so that you can be comfortable to do things that you didn't start doing as a young kid.
Look at these kids, man. This is crazy. I love this for y'all, because the reason I'm asking is because when I started playing, there wasn't even a WNBA. So it's like, oh, yes, I'm not, like, I'm that old that there wasn't even a WNBA when I started playing. But so we only had one thing I was locked in on, like you said, getting them buckets, because that was like, don't nobody care unless you were either a hooper, you could stop somebody, you could get a bucket, you were a great point guard. Those were the only things that matter. But now it's like, you know, there are different things on the horizon. So I'm curious what you guys think, too, because we're at a different age where you know, athletes are empowered. Athletes, you're starting to see their brands, their tunnel walks, their fashion walks. So I'm curious, do you guys keep up with the WNBA? Like, do you guys watch the WNBA on a regular basis?
Yeah, I try to.
I try to catch some games.
You try to catch some games. Okay, because this is a thing that I'm starting to find out is that a lot of young hoopers don't watch a lot of WNBA. So I would say, when y'all say I try to catch some games, what do you think the biggest obstacle is for y'all to, like, catch more games? Is it just your schedule, or is it there's not games on TV? Like, I'm curious what, like, make things more difficult to watch or catch a game.
For us, because it is in the summer, also playing. But I will say, I've been a part of, like, AAU tournaments where we've been in the same states as, like, some of the games. So, like, if we had the time, we're able to go. And then it's about, like, game schedule. And just, I mean, you're going to have free time, but you're also going to be busy. But it's just you pick and choose your battles, honestly.
Yeah, I really agree with her. I mean, we play on the same AAU team, so it's like we got the same schedule during the summer. So if we catch some games, then we'll catch them. But other times, we're really busy with AAU.
So I'm curious, is there games, like, where y'all are like, oh, my gosh, y'all are circling it. Like, I can't wait to see this matchup. Like, are there games that y'all do that with? Because I know that, like, when I talk to young, like, hoopers that may be boys, they're like, oh, man, I can't wait to watch LeBron play this guy. Like, are young hoopers and stuff, like, are y'all excited about matchups? Like, can y'all not wait to see Dallas match up with Vegas? Or, like, is that kind of the vibe? And y'all can be for real, because I want the WNBA to be that appealing to the younger generation. So I'm trying to figure out, like, how do we become the most appealing that y'all are? Like, I don't care what's going on, I gotta figure out how to see that game, even if it's the last. Like, so what, like, what is the vibe when y'all think about WNBA?
Well, in basketball, anything can happen. Me personally, for WNBA, I love to see, like, the Aces and the Liberty because of the two people, like, I'm not people, but the people they have on their teams, on those two teams. But anything can happen. I mean, the way Dallas beat the Aces, and the Aces are supposed to be, you know, the top. So, I mean, you go out there and you just play, and anything can happen.
Okay, I like that you know that that Dallas beat the Aces. You're keeping up a little bit. Now, Zamaria, like, what would make you guys more, like, because we all know that there's certain matchups on the NBA schedule where right when people look at them, people are circling the dates. They're trying to figure out what they are doing that day because they mad if they're going to miss it. Is that like that at all with WNBA games? Are there any games that, like, y'all as a group, y'all are on the same team? Are there any games where y'all are, like, hyped for the upcoming matchups or anything of that nature?
Me personally, I like the Dallas. I like Abuma K. So whenever she match up with anybody that's tough, I want to watch it because she's just a great player. So, like, her playing the Aces, I wanted them to win because, hey, I like her. I wanted them. So I feel like that was a good matchup.
Okay, no, I'm just asking because, like I said, I think that the next step of growing the WNBA, Agumba Wale for Dallas, but I think the next step for growing the WNBA is it's y'all. Like, y'all are our top hoopers literally coming up in the UA next elite, like, you know, like, this is the top group. So I always want to know what you guys think. And so when y'all are on teams together, you talked about LA. I mean, you talked about Vegas and New York. Those are what we call super teams. I played on a super team where, you know, my teammate was Maya Moore, Simone Augustus, Sylvia Fowles. Like, I've been on a super team before. Are y'all a super team? I'm just like, because I'm looking at you two right here. I mean, number three player in the class. Jelani, you participated in the 2022 Elite 24. You're number 14, Zamaria. I mean, these are in the whole class.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to brag. We also have the number one player in our class on our team.
And who's that? Who's the number one player?
Joyce Edwards.
Okay. So y'all got number one, number three, number 14.
We got a lot on that list. We got a lot of players on that list.
Not even just the 2024 class. It's the 2025. Like, it's both of them.
What? So what would you say? So then y'all are on a super team then. So what would you say that you need to do when you play on a team where everybody's that good? What is that like? Because, you know, I think a lot of people don't understand, like, let's take it for example, Asia Wilson to play as good as she plays to be MVP and Defensive Player of the Year last year while being on a super team. Y'all are on a super team. It's always a good thing, but what are some of the tough parts about being on a super team when you think about the level of talent?
I would say everybody is a great player. So you can't I don't feel like you can outshine somebody, but you got to realize everybody's going to get buckets. Like, you're just not the star of that team. So you got to pass the ball, rebound the ball, look for your teammates. You can score when you want to. But I feel like everybody has a role. So if everybody play their role, then y'all straight.
I'll give a good example of what happened, like, literally a couple of days ago. So me and Z, we play, right? We play the same position. But you're going to have bad games. You're going to have good games. And it was at one point where my coach told me to go back and get Z, but I was like, no, because she's hooping. So I told him I'm not going back in the game.
What?
And I let her play, and she was getting buckets out there. And that's just, that goes for everybody.
That's amazing. Like, Z, did you even know that was going on?
I didn't until after the game. And then she told me after the game. I was like, I thank you for that.
That's different because, like, I think that that's a mentality. First of all, Jelani, that's amazing because that's a mentality that, look, I don't even know if I would have done that. I might have been like, hey, listen, you come back out. I'm going to come get you. And then when you come back in, keep getting them buckets. Like, but that is a mentality, though. When you play on a super team, it's like it might be somebody else's night. So you got to feed the hot hand. So that's a winning mentality, by the way, Jelani. I mean, like, it's like that's extraordinary. But then Z, on the other hand, when you got a teammate that does something like that for you, like, how does that, like, make you the next game, or how does that make you as a player and a teammate yourself?
Makes me feel good because we all not, like, feel like when you want a super team, a lot of people get jealous. Oh, they doing this or they doing that. We don't have none of that on our team. We just go play ball. If I'm not hitting that night and she is, then she gonna get the ball. She gonna go do her thing. I feel like it's all just, if I'm my own, then you own, then we just good. We just play basketball.
Listen, I love this next gen, okay? I really do like it. We're talking, this is the group, two of the players that are going to be in the UA Under Armour Next Elite 24. I'm just excited because I like where y'all's heads are at, so I want to just pick the brains because you guys, like I said, are the top athletes. Is it hard at all to focus on sports when there's so many different things like rankings, like social media, like name, image, and likeness? Does that make it difficult to just focus on the game, or is that just a part of your life now?
For me, it's like it's their blessings at different times. And it just happens. You just gotta keep going, and you have to surround yourself with the right people. I would say for both of us, we're around the right people, especially teammates. Everyone has their own success, and you can't like sink down or get down because someone is greater than you at that time. You just gotta keep going.
To me, no, I just ball. I mean, if you like me, like me. If you don't, you don't. I mean, I don't really pay attention to all that. I mean, NIL come with hooping, so if you get buckets, then you attract NIL. With rankings, I'm glad I'm number 14. But other than that, I just ball out.
I love that. And so if y'all were like the creative masterminds behind the WNBA, somewhere that you're going to go, what would be one thing that you would be like, oh, I'm changing, I'm doing this. If you were the commissioner of the WNBA and you could change one thing to make it the most lit place you want it, because you're going to be there. I'm assuming that both of y'all going to keep on this path, and I'm going to see y'all in the WNBA one day. So get your minds to, if you were there, what's one thing that you was like, ooh, I would change this because that would make it more lit for me?
I don't really know.
I'd probably say just to build up, like, the girls' confidence. As much hate we get, I mean, it's real. It's hate everywhere. Just to keep going. So just to build up, like, the girls' confidence so that they don't have to get down on themselves for something that an irrelevant person said.
I like that. So, and when you say the hate is real, for people that may not know, are you referring to how people hate on women's basketball players and in general?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's crazy because, like, I hate that for y'all because it's like, dang, they haven't gotten past this yet. But so what kind of things do you encounter? Because people may not really know. So always talk to the people like we know because we're in the thick of it. I know what they probably say to you. But just give me a couple examples of things that people hate on, how people hate on women's sports.
I mean, if you look at any post about women's basketball, if you go to the comments, you'll see it yourself. But they talk about how when someone dunks and they're like, oh, I was doing that. A boy says I was doing that second. Well, I mean, everyone's not built the same. So, and not every female can dunk. So now we have high schools that are dunking. We got middle schools that are about to dunk. So like, you have to celebrate that because that's not normal. So you have to celebrate the non-normal because that's what builds up our confidence.
I love that because I was going to ask you what could build up the confidence, but that you answered it right there. We just got to celebrate. And that's why, that's exactly why I'm here celebrating y'all. Like, that's why I'm telling people y'all are the number three player in the whole class of the number 14, because things need celebrated, because this is not normal what y'all are doing playing an elite camp. What about you, Z? What do you think if you could just change one thing by the time you got there that would make it lit? What would it be?
I say broadcasting. I mean, they do a great job now, but like really, really just putting it out there to show people that women's basketball is going to the next level. I don't care about that men's basketball is better. They do all this dunk and fancy stuff. Girls are fundamental. They are way more fundamental than boys will ever be. I want people to understand that. So I just say broadcasting.
Wow. I love it. I love that. So you basically, you need more eyes on, you mean, yes. Like basically getting more games on TV, getting more people to see it, because if more people saw it, I get you, Z, if you saw it, you would know it's
right. Right. Because
we don't have to, the product is already turned up. Like, this is what I tell people all the time. That's why, like, I'm pulling up to y'all's game, by the way, speaking of broadcast, the UA Next Elite 24 will be on ESPNU. I'm going to be one of the broadcasters. I'm going to be watching y'all. So y'all better be out there getting a bucket. I'm going to be talking about y'all. But yes, I love that you said that, because people always ask questions like, should we lower the rim? Should we do this? Should we do that? And I'm like, have y'all seen a game recently? Like, right. Even have y'all watched the young hoopers play? Like, I'm glad to be retired when I watch y'all play, because it's like, oh, nah, they doing, they different. They different. So y'all keep doing what you doing. Like I said, I'm going to be over there watching y'all. I'm going to be behind y'all all the way. Does either one of y'all pick colleges? Y'all know where y'all are going yet? That's not even a thing yet.
No. I just dropped my top five a couple days ago.
Who's your top five? Who you just dropped on your top five?
I have NC State, Georgia, Mississippi State, Florida State. Oh, Alabama. Roll Tide.
All right. Okay. And what about you, Jelani?
I have a top seven.
Oh, wow.
Georgia, Florida, LSU, South Carolina, Ohio State, Louisville, and Baylor.
Okay. I love this, because enjoy the process. By the way, having choices is a blessing. It's a product of your hard work. So enjoy the process of these top teams. I think I heard an overlay in Georgia. I think I heard both people say Georgia. So if I'm sitting here in Georgia, so I'm just saying, if y'all do pull up, I might have to pull up and watch, but enjoy this process. I mean, this is unlike anything. It kind of happens at each level, where you pick your college, then you get drafted and you don't have a choice where you're going. And then for a long time, you don't have a choice. And whenever you have a choice to pick what your destiny is, enjoy it, because options is a good thing. But I'm gonna be checking on y'all. Hey, listen, I love the way y'all think. So keep pushing the game forward. And I appreciate y'all for joining me here on Montgomery & Co.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Coming up next, we have the director of sports marketing for Under Armour, Trey Evans, who was there before Steph Curry and after. Just a little nugget coming up next.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We are here with Trey Evans from Under Armour. He's a sports marketing executive. And as you guys know, we've been talking UA Next Elite 24. We've had a couple of the players on, and now we're going to have one of the Under Armour executives to come on. So thank you, Trey, for joining us here on Montgomery & Company.
How you doing, Renee? I appreciate you having me on. Really excited to have this conversation about our game.
Why did you guys create the UA Next Elite 24? I mean, there's a lot of elite events going on. Why did you guys want to get your hat in the ring?
Yeah, well, you know, UA Next Elite 24 and the Elite 24 is a name and a game that already has equity and heritage to it. a former colleague of mine created this game more than 16, 17 years ago. And really the premise was, you know, really paying homage to kind of that summertime street ball era where you just went out and you played street ball out in the streets. And so our game, what makes it special is obviously it's kind of a midsummer type classic, but it's always played outside. And we want to keep that equity around the game and integrity of the game. So you still have that kind of gritty feel of that kind of, you know, the best 24 kids in the around the country just going at each other in the summer. So really excited for this year's game and continue, obviously, that heritage.
No, it's going to be exciting. I mean, anytime you're playing in at Atlantic Station here in Atlanta, was it at Rucker Park in New York? I mean, you guys aren't just playing outside. You're playing at landmark places. You talk about that street ball. What is the vibes of the players there? Are they, you know, I know you got the top players, but what are the vibes that y'all create there at that Elite Next camp?
Yeah, essentially, you know, we want players to come in and enjoy the experience and then put on a show, right? That's one reason we pick the places that we end up having the game is we want to go to cultural basketball cities that represent the best of the best and that love the game. And so, as you've kind of mentioned, we've been to Rucker Park, which is one of the original destinations for the game. We've been at Pier 6 in Brooklyn. We've also been on the West Coast. We've been at Venice Beach before and played on the blacktop court. So last year, after a 5 or 6 year hiatus, we relaunched the game down at Chicago Pier. It was fantastic, great weather, a great turnout. The city really came out and showed up for these kids. And both the men and the women put on a show. So we're extremely excited now to come down to the Dirty South.
Okay.
Absolutely. And see what Atlanta has for us in this game. So we're extremely excited.
The dirty. Okay. So listen, I mean, when I think about Under Armour, I can't help but think about Steph Curry. And I know he has a new documentary coming out, Underrated. It's on Apple TV Plus. But when you just think about the vision for Under Armour, you were there pre-Steph Curry, right? And post-Steph Curry, because you've been there a while, I think, at Under Armour. Weren't you there pre and post? So what has that been like, pre-Steph Curry and post-Steph Curry on the roster?
It's been really amazing, you know, just watching this brand and, you know, going on my 20th year with the brand, just watching this brand really expand itself and become more than just a tight T-shirt brand and become a complete, you know, performance athletic brand that offers you plenty of solutions as an athlete. And then really to see the kind of launch of our basketball category really from the ground up, from a grassroots level. So that's why this game is so important, because we grew our brand basically on the backs and shoulders of really kind of this elite grassroots athlete that just loves to play ball before all the glitz and the glamour. And obviously you mentioned I was here before Stephen, but if you think about his story, and definitely go see Underrated. I just saw it. It's phenomenal. It should win tons of awards. It's going to be a great representation of Stephen and his journey. But just being here and watching Stephen, you know, choose to link up with our brand and us being able to be, you know, right next to him with every step of the way as he grew his, you know, grew his career and becoming, you know, the greatest of all time point guard, in my opinion, and obviously undisputed greatest of all time shooter. It really just makes, you know, really kind of stands for what Under Armour really kind of leans on as far as being there to complete the journey for an athlete like a Stephen Curry or like to see them become great. So it's been a really, really cool ride, to tell you the truth.
No, you talk about that in Under Armour. There was a time where, you know, like I'm kind of Steph's era. So there was a time where Under Armour maybe wasn't the brand that the big names run to. I'm just being honest. And then when you think about a Kelsey Plum now in the WNBA, who she's one of the biggest dogs in our league and she's repping it big on her chest, you know, like, so what does that say about like the brand and how are you getting these big names? Like, what is Under Armour doing to attract big names like that?
Yeah, I mean, here at UA, you know, our philosophy is we want to obviously join in partnerships with extraordinary people that obviously want to be in partnership with the brand, right? Nothing's transactional. We're really looking for people that want to leave a legacy with our brand within the space of sport, within the space of basketball, and just having that partnership with people like Stephen and ultimately, you know, New Edition like Kelsey Plum, all of the values that we stood for were the exact same for those same ones that, you know, Kelsey Plum stands for in her life and her career. And so it was a match made in heaven. She's a phenomenal, obviously, athlete, but even better person. And she's been a great representation for our brand, I tell you that.
No, definitely. I mean, I love to see it. I saw she has some player exclusive shoes, different things that she's doing. And I love to see on the marketing side, though, really, when I see a commercial that's for a men's player, and then if I see a commercial that's for a women's player on the same brand, does it give me that same energy? And I can definitely say that Under Armour has been given that same energy to both groups. You can just see it even in, I believe, South Carolina. Don't y'all have like a very lit commercial about protecting this house with the South Carolina Gamecocks? Are you involved in, I know that we don't want to talk NIL, of course, but I'm just saying, are you involved in that level of, yeah, let's throw Steph in there with the Gamecocks and throw Kelsey in there? Like, are you masterminding behind some of these things?
I'm not the total mastermind. It's obviously a team effort. But what you're referencing is, you know, our first kind of big campaign as a young brand was when we really hit the market with Protect This House. And that was more than 25 years ago.
I will. And, yeah, I remember.
Absolutely. And that was really coming off the shoulders and the foundation of football. And so we want to relaunch. We wanted to relaunch Protect This House. And what better time to do it leading into March Madness? We mentioned we have a great partnership with Coach Staley down at South Carolina. They were obviously on the hunt to go as repeat as national champions. And then we were able to incorporate great stars like Stephen Curry and Kelsey Plum. And so I just really think that makes a statement as far as like Under Armour is a basketball brand. We do care about the sport to take our largest campaign for the year and launch it in the basketball timeframe like we did. So
I love that. And so when I think about like, I think that this is the perfect idea for marketing, by the way. I'm not just saying that because you're here, but I wish more people would connect the dots on top women's athlete, top men's athlete, just connect that triangle to all the basketball tops and then just make a melting pot of it. So I hope we start to see that more as we start to see just brands and everything grow. And speaking of that, like, what are your thoughts when it comes to just growing the brand, I would say events wise, but now it's not even just events, like in the world of athletes, it's flashy now. So how are you guys getting to the flashier sides of sports? Maybe I would say.
Yeah, no, I would say for us, we've been in the grassroots space and doing events for a long, long time. And I think, you know, more than 2 years now, what we decided to do was create this UA Next platform to really amplify those moments, those experiences, to openly give the kids a place, one, to come and get exposure, right? Another place for them to really, like, get better. Like, our mission is to obviously make all athletes better. And so all of our events gives you the opportunity to get better as an athlete. And then it ultimately gives them a place now in today's age to really grow their brains. And then ultimately for us, what that creates is great association with these great kids, these great minds, and allows us to really kind of show kind of our commitment to allowing these kids to become the greatest that they possibly can. So we're excited about the rollout and the event space that we have, the platform that we have. It's a full summer. It starts right around February and doesn't end until the end of August.
I know you tired.
Spent a lot of time on airplanes, me and my team, but we love it. We enjoy every moment of it. We enjoy being around the kids, our coaches, directors. We really do enjoy this time during the summer. It's great for us.
I love that. Well, listen, I think that with the way you're going, I know that it's a team effort, but you've been there a long time, and the way that Under Armour is trending with everything going their way, I think that Trey, you're the right man to be behind it. Like we talked about, Steph Curry's Underrated is on Apple TV Plus, but there's also the UA Next Elite 24. That's just basically kind of in a nutshell. You guys have a lot of things going on at all times.
We're coming down to Atlanta. I know you're going to be there. Enjoy
Let's
it with us.
Go.
And the great thing about the game now is, you know, back in the day, it was only a men's game. Now we got the girls on display. And I'm telling you right now, don't just tune into the men's game. Watch the ladies come and get after it, because they're some of the most talented ladies in the entire country.
Trey, thank you for joining me here on Montgomery & Company.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. Good to see you, Renee.
So we talked to some top basketball prospects, and we also talked to the Under Armour Director of Sports Marketing, because I'm going to be working the UA Next Elite 24 games. It's the girls' game, the top 24, the boys' game, and they do it together. They do it at Atlantic Station. The setting is like part of the brand, as you guys heard, but it's exciting just seeing that, because I grew up in that environment. Like, I grew up doing those camps. I grew up being a part of those top elite camps, playing USA Basketball Young. So it's dope to just hear the young kids and how it's still going. And we're actually going to continue talking to some family business with the crew coming up next.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
To talk to y'all about the Bama Brawl, baby. Now listen, they've been calling it the Bama Brawl, Rumble at the River, Fade in the Water, River and WrestleMania. But if you haven't seen the videos or the memes, please do yourself a favor, get online and check it out, because basically this weekend a brawl broke out by the river in Montgomery, Alabama, after a group of white folks started beating up a black city worker at the docks. Now, the security guard threw up his hat. I'm talking about, if y'all don't know, he hit the smurder with it. And I thought, as well as a lot of people on social media, that that was the bat signal, baby. That let everybody know, get to it. Black folks came from boats, trains, planes, sea, automobile. It looked like the Black Avengers. It was just crazy. Social media was in a frenzy. So I just, this is Montgomery & Co. We are literally Montgomery's, okay? This happened in Montgomery, Alabama.
Our name.
Okay, this is the house of Montgomery. So I just, what was y'all's initial thoughts to that video, man? Like, wow.
Well, I'll start out. I woke up this morning, and I am not a social media person first thing in the morning, but a friend of mine that I work with hit me up first thing in the morning, opened my eyes. She said, "Did you see this?" And I was like, "What is this?" So I at first was looking, I just saw, and I watched the whole thing, and I was like, people have lost their minds. People have lost it. People have lost it. And the first thing I thought was, that's what they get. That's what they get. And the little boy who did the breaststroke,
oh, Aquaman,
to get over there.
That was my favorite part.
Yes. I was wondering if he was going to have enough energy left to throw a blow, but I guess
MVP.
He did.
MVP.
He was young and ready. That adrenaline was pushing water behind him. He almost stood up and walked to get over there. That's how fast he was coming across there.
And the commentary was even, it's like, it was a serious situation, but then like you hear the people in the back saying like, oh, he's swimming over there. It's
man.
Like, they're literally saying your thoughts. And it was hilarious, but it was also a serious situation.
It was.
I give it a serious situation. Like, everybody knows that. But the serious part of the situation was that they tried to jump a man in broad daylight. Like, that was following his job. If y'all don't think that's serious, that's the scary part. Like, now we making jokes. Now they've turned into a meme. But it could have really went crazy the other way had people not been recording. And
it did. They went to jail.
No.
It did go crazy.
I'm glad they went to jail. I'm saying, what if everybody wasn't recording and waiting to hop on that next cruise and recording?
That's true.
And what if he just got jumped? And broad daylight, because that's what really happened. So, yeah, we gonna get these jokes off,
because what are y'all doing? This is crazy.
Well, I just wanted to talk a little bit about this world we live in. It's called alternative reality right now, because people believe that they are into this victimhood belief. And I won't even go into that all the way, but they feel that they can do what they want to do now and just get away with it. And there's no repercussions or anything. But, you know, it takes events like that for them to realize that people are tired. People are not going to take it anymore. I mean, I come from a family who never wanted to really take it and probably didn't. But at any rate, you know, people aren't going to just sit around and let, you know, people be abused and not just step in and just sit and watch. It used to be in a day where people would just back up and just kind of watch it. But now I think our blood is boiling a little bit. And we're at the point, if it pops off, you know, I mean, and the dark side of the social media, there's dark places. I keep hearing about these places that are dark in social media. I've never been there, but, you know, I might need to start going in there and looking and seeing what they talking about down there. So I'll know how to prepare appropriately for the right time when the
time
comes.
Listen, I'm going to keep Snook off the internet, y'all, because she don't know where she's going and what she going to. Snook been then got arrested, not knowing where she was on the wrong site. I forgot some of the nicknames, so I had to go look when y'all was talking about the dude that was swimming. The best ones I saw was Scuba Gooding Jr. I saw Michael B. Phelps. I saw Aquaman. What else did I see? I saw a lot of names, but this is the thing. I love community, right? So for me, it felt like the whole community of Montgomery. Oh, yeah. Jamichael Phelps. My bad, Jeff. Jamichael Phelps. Okay. I forgot that one as well. They was getting them jokes off on social media. And I don't know. For me, it felt like a community bonding experience. I'm sorry. Social media was a fun place to be. Even like you, who said the commentary? I think you said it, babe, like where the commentary, like if you listen to the videos out loud, it was like, wow, this was beautiful.
Renee was cracking up at her phone. I was like, what are you laughing at? And she's like, I'm sorry, I just keep watching this video. And then when she showed me, I started laughing too. I couldn't help but to laugh.
I just wonder if it's going to be on any of our news channels, especially one. And I can imagine how that it'll get flipped. So we'll see.
Let me just say this, because when I was going back and watching and I started dissecting where the real problem came in. See, the father, you can tell it was like the father figure because he was the one who started the yelling, and he walked away. The son, which I'm pretty sure there was liquor involved. People was drunk.
Oh my.
On the water. And the son actually came over and started the fight. The father got the beat down and the mother got the beat down because the father tried to pull his son from underneath the pile. It was too late. It was too
I commend
late.
Them. They went down as a family, boy. I tell you, because
yeah, they did. That's the only way to go. One for all and all for one.
And you can tell too.
Listen, if y'all are ever out there with us, it's all for one and one
try
for all.
Jesus.
Let me just let it be clear.
Please don't try me.
I don't even want to think about that. You imagine Snook in the middle of a brawl.
Snook will get her britches. Snook will be laid out. We will have to be protected. Snook. I know this Snook 30 years ago.
I think Snook got some hands.
My grandmother told me as a child, she says anything that is not nailed down is a weapon.
You see what I'm saying? She's from a different generation. She gonna make anything as a weapon.
Yes. And the chairman felt the same way. This man picked up a chair and was letting
that man.
Have it.
And unfortunately, I know he's going to jail. Unfortunately,
he's really going to jail.
They said choose your fighter. They had Aquaman. They had the Chairmageddon. They had all the different ones. But like they said, once somebody looks, Snook. And this is another thing. This is just random and a side note. But Snook used to always tell me, and it used to really, I believe her, that if I ever went to jail, she was going to do something to go to jail too so that she could protect me. Now, I think we've reached the age and where people can understand this. Now I'm gonna have to go to jail to protect Snooka Booka. I don't know who she thought she was gonna be knuck if you bucking. Talking about some if I was there. If she was there, we would have had to go into Super Saiyan Avengers mode and really, oh, because yes. If I seen, you know, like this is, it's, it would get scary out there.
Well, like I would be all in, I'm just saying. No, I'm just saying. I wouldn't be standing over there filming. I'd be all in.
You know what's scary about this is that we were just in New Orleans at a riverboat situation. And it really, literally, I thought that's where it was. I'm like, oh my gosh, is this where we were at for the fireworks the 4th of July? And then I started to put my family members in the middle of what would have happened. We ran 20 deep. We were 20 deep.
That's
in
a lot of brown children on your Forbes list.
It was 20 deep. We were 20 deep. And we weren't 20 deep with just frail females or little females. We had, my sons were there.
People don't know your sons. So when she says that her sons are 6'4", 6'5", and built from the floor up. Like they, when they walk in, it looks like security with us, which is great, but it is just, it's still our baby. So that's what she means by that would have gotten, it would have
been so ugly.
I'm telling you what though, Cole would have been the MVP.
We had Rommel.
I'm going to tell you.
We had my dad. We had Rommel. We had Xavier. We had Junior.
Junior's
he old enough now.
Junior's our son, okay, you guys, and I'm gonna tell you right now.
But I'm just saying. But Junior ain't gonna sit back if this was knuck if you buck.
No, Junior would get active. First of all, Junior is active. I'm only saying that because I was like, oh Lord, like we got the kids. But I was thinking us. I was saying that I think that you would be the MVP. You know how people said that Michael B. Phelps was the real MVP. He swam, then he body slammed somebody twice, then he hit somebody with a 22 piece nugget. This was all in just one fight occurrence. I think you would be him, Cole.
Oh yeah, Nikki don't play.
You know, I don't think you should go and start a fight, but I think there's some times where this was a very dangerous situation, and no one should just jump in. You shouldn't just jump in, but at some point you can't just stand and watch. It would irk my soul if I saw this man getting beat up. And yes, I am ruining it. I am that person. I'm Oprah Winfrey. Get my kids out of here, because I know I'm going to jail. Go get my kids out of here.
Nikki's one of those people. She usually didn't have to fight. Her words were
I don't know though, because Cole still got them hands.
People have called our house when she was young, just parents, just to ask her dad to ask her when she came to school the next day to tone it down a little bit because they weren't going to school.
If try Jesus, please don't try me as a person, it would be Cole. That's why, like, I'm telling you right now. Y'all, if you don't know, now you know. It is funny because Jeff just said in the chat that the three dudes that pulled up like the Migos had me dead. We also need the men and women commentators on some MGM, UFC, WWE. they was blow for blow. We had analysts, journalists, commentators. We were in the fight.
We had play by play. Yeah, speaking the truth too.
Telling the truth to power.
That's what you call it.
Because that's the thing. I'm so glad they caught it from the beginning, because anything could have been spun. Anything could have been said. Anything could have been turned around. But when you see from the beginning where the man is telling them, you got to move this boat, they getting hot, they going to confirm with each other, we not moving the boat, he unhooks the boat, let the boat go, then they get mad. So you saw the whole thing going down, and at no point did that man touch them. At no point that there was any reason for him to come up really and try to sneak him. He turned around right in time, because the guy tried to sneak him, and he turned around at the last minute, and that's when that happened. But then what also made this whole thing so crazy is that even when they went to the people's boat, then all of a sudden now you scared. You just jumped on your boat because you're trying to touch that sucker and get away. They politely pulled them
off
the boat.
What's that saying?
Wrote
a check that
You couldn't cash. They couldn't cash it. Their bank account was in overdraft. They had no money.
Oh, gosh. So I really think that the commentating actually put it into play too, because at the end of the day, like I was saying, I was like, well, whoever was there who helped this man keep his life, because you know they could have stomped his kid. It could have turned into something where he was actually, we could have watched this man perish.
That's the scary part.
On this video. And so at the point of whoever needs some bail money, y'all need to be putting some GoFundMe up. If you was in that brawl.
Oh, listen, I've seen a lot of
you know, they didn't want any witnesses. They didn't want to leave a witness, you know, if they could. After all, they did all of that. Well, we can't have a witness. You know, that's the next thing.
Yeah, and I'm just going to end it with, there's so much, like, we're talking about the funny parts of it, right? And then we're talking about also that a man was about to really, and did get jumped in broad daylight. This is at the dock of one of the most historic slave trade docks in the history of the United States in Montgomery, Alabama. You leave that dock and you walk down the street and you're walking down historical places in Alabama. And I'm not saying it's good history. So
It's just ironic that happens to be, you know, one of the biggest places. And then that, you know, people like Slink said, people have had enough. Like, I love that people didn't let that happen, because we've seen enough times where people just sit there and record, but they say, we're not going to let this happen. We've seen this before. We're not going to let that happen.
That it's like the way things played out, because there was a whole audience. Like, the reason we have 100 angles, I'm still seeing new angles right now. Like, it's like, wow, because there were people on the boat recording. There were people waiting to get on the next boat recording from the top angles. We got angles from the bottom. We got angles right there in the thick of it. It's like
cha-ching for the people. Cha-ching.
So it's just so crazy, because it's like, we saw from, I think what Cole said, from start to finish, where it says you mess around and what happens?
You find out.
All right, so that's all we got for this week. Listen, we're called Montgomery and Company. We talk about how it's a generational thing. So can you imagine how, look, I got the shirt, House of Montgomery. Like, we rep our last name so tough, but we just rep our family. Like, everything about it, it's a generational thing. As you can see, look who the hosts are. You know, it's like, this is kind of what we do. And speaking of what we do, I gotta mention real quick that Beyonce is A1, and we're gonna talk about Beyonce next week, but Beyonce's show had a rain delay. So what does Beyonce and her crew do? Shouts to her team. They pay $100,000 to keep the MARTA system open longer. They kept the transit open longer. Generational talent. See y'all next week.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is 4 missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.